I just want to worship the Lord for a few more seconds, if you don't mind, with that song. What a wonderful name it is. What a wonderful name it is. The name of Jesus Christ, my King. Sing with me, what a wonderful name it is. Nothing can stand against. What a wonderful name it is. The name of Jesus. What a wonderful name it is. The name of Jesus. Lord, you are so, you're so good to us, Lord. Lord, you're so good to us. You're so good to us, Lord. You're better to us than we have ever been to ourselves. And you do all things well, Lord. Oh, God, just so amazing. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, God. Oh, Lord, you're so awesome in all of your ways, God. And there's no way we could express our full gratitude for who you are and what you've done in our lives. Lord, you're so faithful to always break us down into bite-sized pieces to remind us of our dependency on you. So, Lord, as I stand before this congregation, God, I ask that you would strengthen me, Lord. I am so weak, but thou art strong. I am so flawed, Lord, but you are flawless. Lord, I love this congregation, and I thank you for giving me the privilege to be here, Lord. Help me get myself together. Goodness gracious. But you're amazing, God, and we don't take this time lightly. Thank you for allowing us to come together as one body, many members today. Lord, if there's anyone in the congregation today, I ask that you would break their heart of stone, grant them a heart of flesh, draw them to yourself, and make them a part of this body of believers that are promised eternal life with you in heaven to reign. Christ Jesus, we pray. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Amen. I'm not going to apologize for my tears. I am rocked right now. But it's good to see y'all, family. I know I'm not supposed to start out like this, but it is what it is. You know what I'm saying? God is sovereign. He does what he pleases. He's in total control. And sometimes he snatches tears out of our face. So, excuse me. I am not ready. Give me 1 second, family. How's everyone doing today? Praise the Lord. It is such a privilege to be here with my precious pretty princess. Sabrea Joy Person, who I testified last time that the Lord set her free from her sin sickness, May 26, 2021. It's just an honor to be able to walk in the Lord's will with her as he continues to bear fruit through her in keeping with repentance. Amen. I will debate and humiliate any born-again Christian in this high school. Those were the words of Alfonso Ueno. And that's exactly what he did, with no reverence for God or reservation for any of the students. Back in 1987, Alfonso, he was in elementary school, and some faithful Gideons came to his elementary school and distributed 500 copies of God's holy word. He was so excited that he received this gift that he ran home, and he was like, "Mommy, look what I got." So he gives it to his mother, and she takes the copy of God's holy word, and she places it on a mantle. Sadly, that's where it remained. Some years going forward, he's in high school. And there were a group of students by the name of the Christian Union who had come, and their objective, I'm sure all of you are familiar with FCA, right? Fellowship of Christian Athletes. So they were similar to them. This is in Kenya, if I didn't say that yet. I'm sorry, I'm still trying to get myself together. All right, so they come to the school. They're at the school, forgive me. And they approach Alphonse because he is a freshman. Their objective was to give him the gospel of Jesus Christ. But little did they know, he was a master debater. And his objective was to destroy any type of information pertaining to the gospel of Jesus Christ. After multiple times of the Christian Union attempting to display the love of Christ on this young man and failing horrifically, instead of them pursuing and arguing, they attempted to gather together and pray. Same way Matthew chapter 5, verse 44 tells us, right? It tells us to love our enemies. It tells us to bless those that curse you. It tells us to do good to those that hate you. And it tells us to pray for those who persecute you. So that's what they pursued to do. They even went a step further, staying in context with Jesus giving the Sermon on the Mount. They went into chapter 6 of Matthew. And as Jesus said, when you fast. Family, they begin to fast. Now, I'm sure we got scholars and theologians out here because y'all got Pastor Dale, right? So there are three individuals in Scripture, two in the Old Testament, one in the New Testament, that have a lot of similarities. One in particular, fasting. So who are these three individuals, I ask, in this dialogue? I know you was going to say Moses and Elijah and Jesus, and they all fasted for 40 days, right? But these young people was on a whole nother stratosphere. They fasted for 4 years straight, family. Of course, not every day. But they took it upon themselves to commit to fasting so that the Lord would do a great work by laying down what they desired to acquire a greater need of salvation for Alphonse. Family, these were the most malnutritioned physically, but spiritually obese teens you could ever meet. And they sought the Lord over and over, a specific time, multiple weeks, constantly for 4 years straight. Well, this 2 weeks before it's time for graduation, Alphonse gathers a crowd in the school with the objective to be able to slaughter the Christians again. The moment that everyone gathered together, soon as he opened up his mouth, all of a sudden he had a vision. The sky was full of dark clouds. Everyone in the crowd disappeared. And he completely felt as if there was no way for him to be able to talk to God or reach God. Like Isaiah chapter 55 that tells us to what? Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near, right? The wicked should forsake their ways and the ungodly their thoughts. So all of a sudden, Alphonse begins to cry profusely. And when he opens up his eyes, everyone is standing there. And he responds, the Jesus that you all have, I want him right now. They begin to laugh at him because they thought he was joking, because they were so accustomed to him aggressively coming for them. He said, I need to be born again right now. They continue to laugh. So he turned, did a beeline straight out of the school, walked to the nearby church. It was 70 students in the area. They follow him to this church. He gets to the church, he bows down on his knee, and he begins to pray. Family, after he's praying for 90 minutes, he opens up his eyes from 70 all the way to 2. There's two students standing side by side. Unbeknownst to him, he had experienced 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17. If any man be in Christ, he is a new creation. Absolutely. The old has gone away. Behold, all things have been made new. So he embraces the two students that are standing there. He runs home and he says, Mama, I'm saved. I confessed I was a sinner. I believe that Jesus is God. He forgave me and now I'm saved. And his mother said, boy, please get out of here. You'll be back to your same ways 2 months from now. So 6 months later, he's still holding on to God's unchanging hand. Praise the Lord. And so he asked his mother, he said, Mom, what happened to that Bible that I gave you a long time ago? His mother reaches, grabs it off the shelf. He snatches it, not disrespectfully, but he snatches it in excitement, right, and begins to plow through all 29 books. So some of you are like, 29? What are you talking about, right? We know the New Testament is 27, but in the Gideon New Testament, Psalm and Proverbs is in it as well. So he began to plow through the Word of God. Then he ended up going to Nairobi in this forest full of caves, and he fasted for 3 days straight, family. As he returns, he's starting to understand what the Great Commission is. He also knew that his mother had a serious disease that had an effect on her ability to function in her legs. So that evening, as he began to pray and he goes to sleep, he has a vision and he believes that the Lord will heal his mother. So he wakes up the next morning and he goes to his mom. He was like, Mom, he was like, I know God can heal you. So with his faith and confidence in the Lord's power, he laid his hands on his mother, began to pray. And family, when I tell you, the Lord healed her on the spot. Hallelujah, praise God. She stood up rejoicing, shouting, giving praise to God. Then she bows down her knee and he leads her to the cross where she first saw the light and the burdens of her heart, what? Rolled away. I know y'all know the song. It was there by faith. She received her sight. Praise the Lord. So hallelujah. His father, it wasn't the same scenario. How many of you are hockey fans? All right. Okay. I didn't know that. That's great. Now I know something new about my daughter. Okay. So I'm sure you all know the weight of a hockey stick, right? Well, every time Alphonse attempted to share the gospel with his father cracked him in the head with a hockey stick. He was so serious about seeing the Lord do a work that he knew he couldn't do by himself. He began to pray and fast. He actually began to fast for the next 7 months every Tuesday. This one particular Tuesday, family, he heard his mother scream. And so Alphonse jumped up, goes into the area where his mother was screaming. His father was laying on the ground. The mother became petrified because she thought the father was dying. But not Alphonse, because he felt like Holy Spirit is at work right now. So as the father finally sits up, the father's, what must I do to be saved? So again, Alphonse gets to lead his whole household to the cross. As Jesus told us in Matthew 28:19, go ye therefore and make disciples of all nations. We forget that nations are starting here. So he started in his household going into all nations. Amen? Amen. So as he continued to dive into the Great Commission, he grabbed 3 of his buddies. They go into the marketplace in Nairobi, began to share the gospel. And the Lord is gracious to draw 3 people to himself on their first effort to evangelize. Then he goes back to his old high school. When he gets to his high school, he gives his testimony to the principal. The principal is so rocked off of his testimony that the principal says, I want you to come to the school and present your testimony to the whole school body. Family, tell you about the goodness of God. After he shares his testimony and gives the gospel of Jesus Christ, 500 students are regenerated on the spot. Ain't God good? Can we give God some praise for that? Praise the Lord. Amen. Amen. So over time, he continues to preach. The Lord calls him. He becomes an associate pastor. In 2004, if I'm not mistaken, this young lady, she comes back and forth from Kansas City to do missions. And he sees her. She comes once a year. Well, the 6th year when she comes, he figures, man, Proverbs 18:22, it might be real for me today. So he proposes to this young lady, and she becomes his good thing. At this moment, right now, he is the senior pastor in Oklahoma, Kansas City, living out the word of God that the Lord used to draw him to himself ages ago. Amen. Praise the Lord, family. Thank you for the water, brother. Y'all know my mouth dries out, so don't be distracted. Praise God. Amen. For those of you who might not know, because my brother Jim and Pastor Dale and many of the other members here have done a phenomenal job to inform visitors and those that are standing members about Gideon's International. It's an association of born-again Christian businessmen and our born-again Christian wives. I have the finest female on the face of the planet as my wife. She's called an auxiliary. She ain't here to prove it, but you can see my seed, so it's crystal clear. She's all that. Praise God. They support by way of prayer, distribution, and evangelism. The Lord established this association actually 126 years ago. 4 months and 3 days by two brothers who were in Wisconsin that desired for men to come together while they're traveling doing business to pray and to get to know the things of God. Well, 126 years later, we are here standing firm. The Lord has expanded this association. Last time I checked, there's 150,000 men and 90,000 women on all six of the seven continents doing work that the Lord has called us to do by his grace and for his glory. For those of you who have children, grandchildren, nieces and nephews, we have this incredible program. It's called the Life Book, Gospel of Mark. This is the Gospel of John. Very inconspicuous, gives them an opportunity to be able to share the gospel in schools where people who might be opposed to the gospel would not know that this book is full of life and that more abundantly. Praise God. Last time I was here was a couple years ago. The distribution of life books was up to 54 million. I checked last night. It's up to 58 million by 4.5 many missionaries, the young people, people my daughter's age, even my oldest daughter's age, who are not ashamed of the gospel and who are engaging people wherever they go with truth that sets men free. So we praise the Lord for the resources that he's given unto us, and we praise him for the opportunities that he allows us to have to be able to pour into those who are dead in their trespasses and sins, or those who do have a relationship with the Lord, but they might not be growing in their faith. Amen. Some years back, there was a young man by the name of Robert Watkins. And Robert Watkins had just enlisted into the United States Marines. Well, his grandparents wanted to be a blessing to him before he left. So they give him a copy of God's Holy Word, regular size copy, probably what y'all have in y'all's pews. And he was like, "Grandma, thank you. But this book is like 9x6. My pocket is like 7x5. I can't carry this with me wherever I go," right? So, like some of you, James 5:16, effectual, fervent, praying, righteous mothers, grandmothers, aunts and uncles, right? His grandmother just happened to know a local Gideon, and she sought him on behalf of getting a copy, a digitized copy of God's Holy Word. So Robert had already left. So the grandparents mail it to him, and though he received it, he was heavily rooted in sinfulness, partying, kicking it, doing what people do that are dead in their trespasses and sins. Well, over some time, Robert ends up picking up the copy of God's Holy Word. He begins to dive in the copy of God's Holy Word. Then he begins to go to the chapel and get taught God's Holy Word. Lo and behold, he reaches out to his, well, he comes home on his first, man, I was in the Army and I can't even think of the name of it. What is it called when you go home? Somebody help me. Leave, yes, whatever he said, leave, praise God, amen. And so, I need to lay down right now. Okay, so ultimately, he comes home and he tells his grandparents, "Y'all have no idea the impact that this book has had on my life. It's changed my perspective, it's changed my way of thinking, and I appreciate it greatly," right? So he goes back, he goes to his first deployment. 2 months later, there was two Marines that came to the house of the grandparents, knocked on the door. And they said, "I'm sorry to inform you, but Robert was killed in a vehicle accident." So they bring the effects later, which basically are the remains, his items. And so when the grandmother gets it, she grabs the box. She begins to plow through the box because you might not know, in the back of all of the Gideon New Testament Bibles, there's a section where if the Lord draws you to himself, you can put your name and the date of your conversion there. So that's all the grandma was looking for. Like, "Man, I miss my son. I know he had been digging in the word. I know he was going to chapel service, but I'm not certain if he surrendered to the Lord." So she finds the New Testament and she scrolls to the back and bing, she sees his name signed. Hallelujah. She will see her son again, grandson again, when she splits the sky to spend eternity with our Lord. So that's what it's all about, family. never knowing the impact and effect that you could have on an individual, but trusting the Lord with your moments to maximize them, and not knowing what's going to become of them, but finding out later that the Lord did work by his grace and for his glory. Amen. There was a young man by the name of, my mentor, y'all are very familiar with him, Michael Bunch. He is an amazing man of God, great Gideon. He's the truth. I love this brother. I wish I would have met him when I was younger. But anyway, Michael met a young man by the name of Toto Cristiano. And Toto Cristiano was from Indonesia. Michael was going to an international convention, I believe, and he had an opportunity to be able to sit with him and talk. Well, as Toto began to tell Michael his life story, he told him about a lady who was actually a nurse in Indonesia at a Baptist hospital. So she, the auxiliary member, which are what our wives are called, the auxiliary member has a copy of God's holy word. And so she gives it to Toto's mother and says to her, I would love for you to read this copy of God's holy word. So she did, family. And in the Lord's timing, she surrendered her life to the Lord. So Toto's mother speaks to her fiance, shares the gospel with her fiance from this same copy of God's holy word. The Lord breaks his heart of stone, gives him a heart of flesh. So now he's saved. Well, when two become one, they make a baby. So Toto is birthed. And over time, Toto was given the gospel. Toto received Jesus Christ. Monday through Saturday, Toto was in a Muslim mosque because the majority of Indonesia, if you did not know, it might be the largest country of Muslims. Well, he was in the mosque almost every day of the week with his grandfather because of the schedules of his parents, right? So he's hearing heretical doctrine Monday through Saturday. But Sunday, he's going to church with his father and his mother. Toto begins to share the gospel with his grandfather, who is faithfully committed to go to the mosque. But our God is an awesome God. Breaks his grandfather's heart of stone, gives him a heart of flesh. He confessed Jesus as Lord. And then he shows Michael a picture of 17 family members who all came to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ by one copy of God's holy word. Family, we cannot take it lightly. We don't know the Lord's purposes and plans, but what we do know is that they will always prevail. Amen. Praise the Lord. Some years back, some of my brothers were in Porto Alegre. I might be saying it wrong, but don't judge me. I don't know how to speak Spanish. Amen. All right, so anyway, they were doing what we call a scripture blitz. And a scripture blitz is when we have been given the privilege to go somewhere, local colleges, I'll talk about that later, or just another country. And we position ourselves in an extremely busy area where constant traffic is going by, mainly at college or universities, right? So my brothers, within 12 hours, they were able to distribute 12,000 copies of God's holy word. Know the deal. You don't always have time to be able to share the truth with an individual, but the word will work in spite of us, right? We put it in the hands of an individual, and we continue to pray and see what the Lord has in store. Well, this one particular day, there was this young man that walks up close to the end of their time being there. And he walked up. He was, you know what I'm saying? He had on a suit, so he was dressed to impress, right? And so he stood in front of one of my brothers, and he began to cuss him out in the native language. And so my brother, you know what I'm saying, standing firm in the word of God, just dealt with the persecution. Blessed are they that are persecuted for righteousness' sake. We expect that, right? But then this is what he said. He was like, you know what you could do with that Bible? He took the Bible and cocked back and launched it as high as he could. So were my brothers offended? Of course they were. But did they expect it? Of course they did, because of the scripture. That's why it's so important for us to know scripture. So when scenarios occur, we are not moved, right? We are not moved. So my brothers begin to tear up, but they continue to press forward and continue to give the gospel to all those that would receive. Well, not long after that, my brother smelt this distinct smell behind him. He was like, man, what is that? So he turns around, he sees this young man head to toe, tar completely covering his body. And he says to my brother, I was up on top of that building, I was about to kill myself. But I guess God desired to drop a Bible from heaven and hit me on top of my head. I saw in this Bible that it said, I can have eternal life. And I want to know, can you show me the way? So after 30 minutes of sharing the gospel with this young man, the Lord does what he does so well. Holy Spirit regenerates him. He surrenders to the Lord, and he begins to walk out this journey in this life of faith. Family, who would have thought? Yeah, I'm sure everybody's familiar with the phrase, one man's trash is another man's treasure. We know the word of God ain't trash, but when people treat it as trash, we have no idea what ultimately it will come. Praise God. Amen. Family, being in this association has given me the privilege to be able to develop and mature spiritually in ways that I had not before. I believe I gave my testimony to you all before, so I'm not going to do that again. But the years that I spent growing in the grace of God, there's no comparison to what I have learned in this association by being next to brothers and sisters, specifically husbands and wives, that are so serious about being committed to the work of an evangelist, right? To build, to develop, to mature, to inspire. We meet as a camp. Most camps, they meet usually like once a week, if you can, right? Every Saturday at Bob Evans. And when we come together, it's actually already scripted. It's scripted for the whole year. It's already formatted out, right? We have specific individuals that we're praying for, all of the members that are across the globe that are positioned doing work for this association to help establish ministries, to disciple, to evangelize. We read God's holy word together. I don't know if you ain't ever been in a circle of brothers, I'm speaking to the brothers specifically, where everyone is reading God's holy word. It is invigorating. It is soul stirring. It is life transforming because you're able to see the passion that indwells these individuals for God's holy, precious word. We pray with, we pray for one another. We communicate about what's going on in one another's families. And these brothers have helped me in some very challenging times in my life throughout my marriage. 23 years. Matter of fact, September? Yeah. We just passed. Forgive me. September 30th, we just hit 23 years. Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. Woo! I'm so grateful, right? I know for a fact, if it wasn't for many of the brothers and sisters in this association that I have had the privilege to be in 14 years, I might have made some foolish decisions. But being transparent and being vulnerable with those who serve the same Savior that you do gives you an opportunity to be able to see things that you can't see. And that's how God has used them to help me. So for those of you who might not know, there are spiritual qualifications and there are also employment qualifications. That's not the word, but I can't think of it right now, so it's cool. Y'all know what I mean. All right, so spiritual qualifications are pretty simple, right? Of course, you have to be born again, right? So Genesis chapter 2, verse 24, do you believe in the ordained, God-instituted marriage between one man and one woman, biological only? Praise the Lord. John chapter 3, verse 16, you believe that Jesus Christ is the eternal Son of God. Romans chapter 12, verse 1 through 2, do you endeavor to follow him and die to yourself for the rest of your days until you stand before him in awe? 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16, do you believe that the Bible is the inerrant, infallible, inspired word of God? Revelation chapter 20, verses 10 through 15, do you believe that God has created the lake of fire for all those who have rejected this free gift of salvation? Hebrews chapter 13, verse 17, are you committed to the body of Christ and you have not become a gadfly to Pastor Dale, right? A irritant, right? You do not make him serving the Lord while developing you very tumultuous, right? because he has to give an account for your souls. And some believers might not understand the level of severity that comes with the role of a pastor to shepherd a flock. They have to always keep in mind they're going to stand before the Lord on behalf of your lifestyle to give an account for the things that you have done while up under their tutelage. Family, if you fall in line with all of those, praise God, you've met the spiritual qualifications. Labor-wise, you need to have had some form of supervisory position in your career. A degree is not essential, but it's beneficial. Ultimately, the purpose for you have been a supervisor in some way, shape, or form is because we have multiple offices. We have president, vice president, secretary, treasurer, chaplain, assistant. I mean, chaplain, and we also have the scripture distributor, and myself, like I have the privilege to be the church ministry chairman. So I built relationships with about 60 different pastors and churches. And so because of these, you know, we do some technical work. It ain't that serious. I'm not that smart guy, right? So if I can qualify, family, you could qualify. You just have to have a passionate heart, understand that scripture calls us in Mark 16:15, go into all the world and what? Preach the gospel to every creature. It ain't rocket science. Actually, it's easy when we remove the burden to feel like it's our responsibility for them to come to Jesus. I had the privilege to be able to do a workshop with many of you. And gosh, I saw your beautiful faces. I got so excited to see y'all again today. We had such an incredible time. I think y'all did. But I did. I got to learn a lot from y'all. And I got to hear a lot of feedback and to see how the Lord has ignited in the souls of many believers an appetite for the lost, for those who have rejected or those who just don't know what the gospel message is giving us an understanding of John chapter 6, verse 44. It says, this is Jesus talking. He said, no man comes unto me unless the Father who sent me draws him, and I will raise him on the last day. So our job is just to open up our mouths, trust the Lord with the results. It's easier said than done, but it's purposed so that when someone is drawn by Jesus, you'll never be able to take the credit for it. You'll never be able to get the recognition for it. The Lord promises to reward his children, 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 10, at the judgment seat of Christ. But when it comes to salvation, we're not responsible. We're just called to be the mouthpiece. My desire is for all of us to be more and more and more and more of the mouthpiece. There was a lady, I think I said this at the workshop, who, beautiful, 99, I think she was 94, 96 years old, right? When I was in the Army at Fort Campbell, Kentucky, I was a part of our what is it called when you go to the homes where they stay, senior citizen home. Amen. Praise God. I was a part of senior citizen home, right? I'm 52. I'm struggling. And so had the privilege to be able to pour into brothers and sisters in the faith who aren't able to come to worship with us regularly, or people who are curious about the God we serve, right? At that time, we have an older daughter who's 19, who was probably about 6 at that time, and she brought so much joy to the brothers and sisters that were in the room. We came as a church to preach, to pray, to sing, to dance, to embrace all that, right? Just have a Acts 2:42 time, right? And so this seasoned saint comes up to me after I finished preaching the word, right? And she was like, listen to me. And so she got right up in my face, like arms length reach, right? And she was like, let me tell you something. She was like, you better never let your flesh beat you into silence. She was like, I'm 90-something years old, and nobody wants to hear me talk about the gospel. So while you have the time, you better maximize it. And then my eyes swelled up with tears. I was like, yes, ma'am, I promise, right? So Hebrews chapter 10 tells us we are to what? Stir one another up to good works. This might have been the only opportunity that this beautiful lady had to speak to me, but she reminded me of my role and my responsibility. So though I'm almost half her age, I do the same thing to others because she saw fit to be gracious to remind me Don't let your flesh beat you into silence. And it's easy to do, family. I've done it innumerable times. Our precious daughter, the Lord has used her mightily. I would need 55 minutes to talk to you about it, so I don't have that time. But just give you a quick testimony that was amazing pertaining to sharing the gospel, right? A young man at her school said something offensive to her, right? And so she came and told me about it. And me as her dad, you know what I'm saying? You know, I went to the gym. No, I was playing. All right, so what I did is I reached out to the father, and I was like, hey, man, we need to talk, bro. So I talked to him. I was like, hey, man, I love your son, but your son crossed the line, and we need to have a conversation. So he's a brother in the faith, praise God. We all at Christian, Bethesda Christian Academy, so this was all a spirit-led conversation. Well, he offered to take my daughter and myself to Dairy Queen to be able to feast on some delicious ice cream. And I was like, okay, that's what's up, when, bro? So he told us, so we meet there, right? So the son, he wasn't just apologetic, he actually was going to be paying for my daughter to show his sign of, I was in error, I hope you're merciful to forgive me, right? So they walk up to the counter, you know, she can't date till she's 18, so if y'all got, you know what I'm saying, grandsons, don't even think about it. All right, so anyway, so we get to the counter, does her thing, I'm talking to the father. Sabrea, 9 years old, that was this year, I think, walks up to me and she says, hey, Dad, can I go over there and share the gospel with that lady? And, you know, my flesh, I want to be like, hurry up and get over there, right? I didn't do that. But I was like, wow, praise God, that's what's up, girl, right? This is all grace, family. Yes, I live the life to share the gospel in her presence and outside of her presence. But the fact that the Spirit of God that indwells her moved her to want to engage somebody that is a stranger to her is nothing but the power of God, right? So I was like, sure, honey. So the young lady looked like she was maybe 19 or 20. I don't know how old she was. So I've, just for context sake, I've always catechized our daughters. I've always discipled our daughters. I've always poured into them truth and to accept the fact that you will get rejected, but you are to respond in love, right? So she goes over, you know what I'm saying? I'm at a distance. Of course, you know, I wish I was close so I could hear, but she came and told me later. So anyway, she goes and pursues to share the gospel with this young lady, right? So I waited until we left. I didn't hear nothing my boy was saying. All I wanted to know was what happened, right? And so when it's time to leave, I asked her, I was like, hey, honey, what happened, right? And so she tells me, she asked her, are you a born-again Christian? And the girl, her face was kind of, you know, stank, you know what I'm saying? Like, looking like, she was like, no. And so Sabrea, in a loving and affectionate manner, responded with something I don't even know if I would have responded with. She was like, can I pray for you? I was like, Jesus, thank you. So the young lady was like, I guess, right? So Sabrea grabs her hand. You grabbed her hand, right? Okay, you didn't. Okay, I ain't about to lie. All right, so she stood there with the young lady while the lady was sitting, prayed for her, and was like, bye, and walked away. Is that simple, family, right? So, of course, me as a father, I'm broken in tears of joy because I'm seeing her bear fruit in keeping with repentance at such a young age, understanding the mandate that God has called every believer. There's no age limit in Matthew chapter 28, 19 and 20, right? Nowhere in that chapter do you see, once you become a certain age, it says go. So I do praise God for that in other scenarios as well. I love to celebrate the Lord in her presence. You know, after we leave, she'll probably hit me in the back, Daddy, you know. But that's what fathers that love their children do. Amen. So family, there are four different ways that you could support this association. First and foremost is prayer. Easiest scripture in the Bible outside of Jesus wept, 1 Thessalonians 5:17. Pray without ceasing. We have seen the Lord do mind-blowing things on behalf of the kingdom, for his glory through us by way of us being on our knees praying. There are so many countries, like when we get together on Saturdays and we're looking through our script that we're praying for individuals, there's always a blurb in there that speaks about a place like China where there is no Gideon ministry, things of that nature. There's always a red blurb every week when we pray for different countries. So praying, we have seen God open up doors that we could not. Your prayers, for those of you who are praying, you get to partake in the Lord's magnificent work globally. That is number one. Number two, by way of donation, as my brother mentioned earlier, if you do not desire to use the envelopes that are inside of the brochures, you can go online to Gideons.org. Gideons.org. Every penny that comes to us goes directly to the purchasing of scriptures all across the globe. Any of the missions that the Lord allows us to be able to do, that comes directly out of the pockets of the association members. A third way is by what you all have out there as well, is the Gideon Card Bible Program. We have these amazing cards, Christmas cards, we got festive cards, in recognition of cards. Thank your pastor. Thank your pastor. I heard somebody say, thank your pastor today, family. I'm here to be a blessing, to help remind y'all to thank your pastor. Praise God. In majority of the cards, there's a scripture just to remind you of the grace of God, also to continue to stir you to good works. And if you don't know, you have an opportunity, because the cards are free, but you have a chance to be able to purchase Bibles that will be sent globally, where our brothers and sisters in headquarters in Nashville know that there's a need, right? So even taking these cards, some of your family members, Walmart, Hallmark, Shop March, you don't have to go there anymore, family. You got access granted through Gideon's International Christian Association, built up to be able to help Christians do what brings God glory. So I pray you would consider that. Birthday as well, I'm sorry. And finally, I ask that you would pray about it. Just consider whether you might feel like, well, I don't think I want to be a Gideon, but I do want to support the association. We have something called Friends of Gideons. Friends of Gideons are brothers and sisters who just give us information about who they are, self-explanatory. Jim can square you away with all that. But ultimately, first you're going to receive an annual calendar. Inside of it, it has a Bible reading for the Old Testament and New Testament every day, as we are men and women of the book, right? But it also has pictures of all of the individuals that are global. I know y'all probably can't see it. I need glasses, just like some of you wear glasses. But just know I ain't lying to you, right? So there are brothers and sisters in here for every day of the week that you can seek the face of God on their behalf, that the Lord protect them, preserve them, and empower them to do the work that God has called them to do in this association. Family, it is a privilege to be here. I praise God for the opportunity. I am so in awe of what you all do in the community. I'm so grateful, and I'm trying not to cry again, my boy Paul and Rainey. They were such amazing family members for the years that I had the chance to be close to them, and I never would have met them if I wasn't in this association. So my encouragement, family, is to take heed of the word of the Lord, to live a life that pleases him, maximize your moments, family, and don't sleep on the sovereignty of God, right? Psalm 115, verse 3, our God is in the heavens. Yes, he does what he pleases, and he does what he pleases through vessels such as ourselves, who are willing and obedient to see his purposes performed and ultimately give him all of the glory. I love y'all. God bless y'all. Y'all have a wonderful week, and never let your flesh beat you into silence. Amen.
Thank you, Brother Sebastian. Let's stand and sing one verse of a good song.